Satan. How's that? Is that better? Okay, sorry about that. Deborah told me that the kids wanted to do something, and as I was preparing my sermon yesterday, I kind of said, what was that again the kids wanted to do? And it's the fruit of the Spirit. If you think about our statement here, we talk about a couple different things in that. We talk about leadership, but we also talk about the rest of the body being participating. This kind of follows along with all of our other, if you'll notice, all of our other core values. They kind of build on top of one another, and they continue to layer up, not things that we desire to do, but it's things that the body is already doing, that you guys are already doing, that leadership is already doing. We're here doing those things. So these things are not something that we are starting anew. These are things that we've been doing. These are things that we want to get better at. We want to get better at leading. We want to get better at participating. We want to get better at being organized. For me, I always want to be organized. Well, I looked in my drawer the other day, and I don't know if any of you have one of these. These are keys that I've had probably since I had anything to put a key in. They were important at one time, right? I mean, I had to have these. I have no earthly idea what the heck they go to right now. But that's the human expression of organization, right? We forget things, we lose things, we misplace things, we don't understand how to operate things, you know, start tractors, lawnmowers, open doors, and things like that. So this is a summation of my ability to organize my life, humanly speaking. It's not happening. You can ask my wife. She bought for me a key organizer. And as I went through keys, I'm going, I don't have any idea what these go to. No idea. But God's not like that. He is organized from the beginning. And guys, this is going to be whirlwind. But in Genesis 1 through 25, he created everything in the universe that we see. Then in Genesis 1:26-31, he creates man. He is organized. He is the visionary. He created order out of voidness, out of formless. Then, of course, man fell. God created him to have a free will, and he fell. And from basically Genesis 4 all the way through Malachi, at some degree, mankind has been trying to set back in order what we messed up in Genesis 3. Through Israel, through a lot of turmoil, all accounts of the Old Testament where we're ineptly and carelessly trying to put back in order the fallen world that we've had. But still, in those, God has his plan and his precepts buried inside those to show us that we can't do it on our own. We have no ability to straighten things out that we messed up. It's only the truth of his precepts and the promise of his son Jesus, the Messiah, coming to redeem. And then in Galatians 4, verse 4, we read this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So God sent, or directed, or ordered, if you will, Jesus, the missionary, the Son of God, into his creation, back into his creation to redeem order, to restore order, as he had planned out. Someone has John 5:30 here in the congregation, and I'm going to have a lot of help here. There's about 13. Who's that?
Me.
Read it out loud, please.
I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
So God ordered that. God ordered Christ. Those are Christ's words. God ordered him into this world in his will. The same plan he had at the beginning, he's continuing that plan on through Jesus Christ. Through his life and ministry, tons of verses. You know, you guys know all the verses there what he did, what he taught, how he treated people, how he loved people, how he exhorted people at times. He worked into that. But he also came to accomplish God's redemption. Through his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection, and his magnificent ascension, he achieved what we could not achieve. He laid down. He gave up. He not only gave up his life, but coming to earth as a man, a holy and righteous God, coming to earth as a man, gave up that, in part, to be here on this earth, to redeem us back to God's organization, back to God's order, back to God's plan and purpose. And even, I think, in a way, in Luke 24:29, Jesus told his disciples that the rest of God's plan is, I got to leave. I got to go so God can send the Holy Spirit to you so you can have it to continue on God's plan and God's organizational purpose. Jesus was given 12 disciples to help establish. So Jesus came to accomplish. God gave him his disciples. It says in John 17, 6 through 8. Somebody have that?
I've got it.
Okay.
I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed.
So Jesus came to accomplish God's plan. God gave him disciples to establish or found his plan here on this earth, to continue to speak into other people, to carry the gospel out beyond. And then, of course, there was Peter in Matthew 16. Jesus tells him he's going to establish the church. Peter's instructions about how that church is established in a lot of different ways, but in 1 Peter 2:9, which we'll read later, will come up about the what the church is, the ecclesia, as Jeremy taught early on. It's us. It's you. You are the church. Wherever you go, we heard about Deborah's praise for the church being gathered. We heard Mark's praise about the church being gathered at the hospital or at the Medema's house the other day. In different purposes, we are the church. Wherever we're gathered, it's promised that God is there and his Spirit is there, and we are to continue in his plan and purpose to be an organized body. And Peter's instruction also on biblical leadership. It's not just we're all the body, but there are some, and we'll read these a little bit later, that Peter is describing, and Evan read for us this morning, how he is calling people out as leadership that have not a greater duty, but a greater responsibility. That the responsibility of leadership, if you read through scriptures, through things that Paul says, things that Peter says, even some things that Jesus said, have a higher accountability, I would say, because we are, as we step into that position, in a place of higher accountability. Then Jesus, he chose Saul, or Paul, on the road to Damascus to do God's will and to promulgate, to spread out his plan throughout the Mediterranean. Wherever he traveled, Paul spread that out. Does somebody have Acts 9, 4 through 6? Yeah. So God's plan is still at work, and it's woven all the way through the scriptures. Paul establishes the church through the four missionary journeys. Paul instructs God's people on God's precepts of how we should live out God's plan. And Paul also instructs on biblical leadership in several chapters, Acts 20, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, we're all familiar with that. But somebody has Ephesians 4:11.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers.
So all these things continue to lead us into that idea of God's organization. Not the Rotary Club, not the Kiwanis or whatever those people are, but into an organization for his glory. Then God directed or ordered or sent the Holy Spirit as a facilitator, which if you look at this, you know, we can't facilitate ourselves, an enabler, and instructing and directing all believers in their roles in the body of Christ. And someone have 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10. Go. And then in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So the Spirit is not only giving us gifts, but those gifts have fruit. And those fruit, if you all kind of combined it down and you kind of shrink it down into one thought, it's love. As we love one another, as God so loved the world, God's plan with his purpose is continuing on. So how do we accomplish this? We don't accomplish it through neat bar charts and corporate structural plans or anything like that. I'd like to leave you with a couple ideas. Looking at two different parts, and these are not all the parts, but these are two major parts of how I see that God uses his people and his plan with his plan and purposes. You have biblical leadership, and then you have biblical priesthood of each believer. Does somebody have 1 Peter? Oh, that's me. Sorry. 1 Peter 2. Four and five. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. You also, let me say that again, you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're living stones. We're not complete because we're still being built up into a spiritual house of priesthoods, of priests. And what do in that time? We offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. It's a lot going on there. We do this by utilizing the fruits of the Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit and the Word of God. Somebody have 1 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 3:16. Thanks, Sid. So the first thing I find myself I have to do is I have to die to myself. Galatians 2:20.
My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah. So all this I try to do in myself, represented here metaphorically, I need to die to those. I need to bury those. I need to get rid of those. Amen. I need to bring back who I know I'm supposed to be and bury that thing I'm not supposed to be. Amen. And the second point is that we love, serve, and forgive each other. Somebody have 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up.
That's how we love. How do we serve? Colossians 3:17.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Then how do we forgive? Ephesians 4:31 and 32. We've heard all this, right? I read it probably regularly all the time. But I need to die to myself and live for God because I can't carry around those keys all the time. I got to get the rocks out of my backpack, unload all that stuff, and let him carry it. And the way we do, church together, the way we gather together, whether that's at the hospital or at the Meetings House or here on Sundays or Taco Tuesdays or wherever we are as we go together, in 1 Corinthians 14:12, which I think we saw a lot of bit today, and I was trying to incorporate a lot of you guys carrying out some of these things here. 1 Corinthians 12:26. How then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you have a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So as we come together, Taco Tuesdays, here Sundays, hospitals, Chick-fil-A, many other places that we gather, let it all be done for edification. I know we talked a lot here about how we as the body continue to what we've called here be organized. Organization needs a plan. Shouldn't be our plan. Shouldn't be our scheme. Shouldn't be our desire. Shouldn't be our preferences. But it should be God's plans with His purposes in mind. And as I look at 1 Peter, and as I think about leadership, as I think about leadership in this body, this local body, this local expression, the first thing that we need to understand is Ephesians 2:20. If we're building something here that's organized, if we're building something here that is in God's plan and purpose, if we don't start off with a cornerstone that's firm, we're going to be ended up somewhere else. There are a lot of things Scripture calls leadership to. They call us not to miss the mark. They call us to lead by example. But more than anything, they call us to repentance, and they call us to build on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, may your plans and your purposes be our plans and our purposes. From leadership to nursery to childcare to our marriages to our rearing of our children to our relationships with people outside the body, Father, continue to go before us. We have no idea what our next step will be, but we're making that step trusting you for your plans and your purposes. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.